The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
It's over. The dream is alive for Houston. For the first time in 37 years, the Cougars are going to the Final Four. 67-61. Houston over Oregon State. They get it done in the Elite Eight, and they're the first team to the Final Four in 2021.
Best feeling in the world, knowing we haven't got been to the Final Four since I think it's 1984, just to bring it back to the city of Houston. That's all I wanted for me and my teammates and this whole team and for the whole city of Houston.
I was going to say, how cool does it feel to put your name in the history books with a team like Phi Slamma Jamma?
Man, it's crazy just to be, just have my name by all those Hall of Fame greats with Akeem and Clyde. It's just something that'll last forever and something that'll just be engraved in Houston basketball history forever.
Never really was doubt, just, you know, following his plan and, you know, the plan he set in place for us, just, you know, going out there every night, playing hard, and letting our culture take care of a lot of games, which our culture did today. Like I say, Oregon State fought back, and, you know, our culture took over. We got on the offensive glass. We got extra possessions. And, you know, we work on that every day in practice. All them sprints in June, July, we do it to be here in March, and, you know, it was all worth it.
We've taken a group of kids to get them to believe. And they've accomplished something that that they will, no matter what happens this weekend, is something that nobody can take from them. And they'll always be known as a Final Four participant. They played in the Final Four. They earned it, too. I mean, they earned it. There's three games in Fort Worth, the four games here. Every season is going to be ups and downs. That's why the 1976 Coach Knight team is the last one to go undefeated. Everybody's going to lose games. Is how you bounce back from those games. And this team did it the right way because they're high-character kids. High-character kids.
Sports. Sports.
Sports. Sports. So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and it's always fun when you lick the beavers. Hey, let's have some fun today, guys. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Diabolical.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Shock the Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Comment there. It's a Tuesday, usually everybody's in a bad mood. Well, don't bring that garbage today, because it's all happiness here.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
I think you need to add another happy and another joy to that.
That much?
Yes.
Huh? All right.
Yes. Because, frankly, I never thought I would live long enough to see UH back in a Final
Four. I
mean,
honestly, I didn't think you'd live that long either. So there's color yeah. Us both surprised.
Oh, yeah. But, and I'm going to start with, obviously, Baylor is going to be a real challenge. I mean, Baylor's better than UH. There's just no way around it. UH's gonna have to play better than they have all year, and Baylor's gonna have to play a little below. And in fact, -5 is not enough, in my opinion. I think Baylor should be 8 or 9 point favorites here. And, you know, so I have no illusions about that game. But frankly, I'm not even gonna think about that because
think about that later in the week.
I'm just gonna enjoy it today. For all the times that I was sitting in Hoffines by myself in a section. And all the times I sat in Robertson Stadium by myself in a section with 8 other people in the damn building, and was talking to Joel before the show. It's like, yeah, they really hit rock bottom before they hired Kelvin. Dude, that was like one of 10 rock bottoms. UH has had so many rock bottoms that I don't even, you know, hell, the Rock himself didn't do as many of those. So for them to get here, it's really exciting. I'm happy for Kelvin. I'm happy for the kids. And you know what? Happy for the fans. And you know what? If you're wanting to bandwagon, jump on board, man. You know, it's going to be fun. I'm not too worried about that yet because, like Kelvin said, there'll always be a Final Four participant. So that was pretty cool.
It was. He also said something that's not necessarily true. He said, everybody loses a game.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because, you know, there's another team that's playing tonight that hasn't lost one yet and probably won't lose one. I mean, I they're just light years ahead of everybody right now. But, hey, you know, it's...
crazier things have happened.
They have. And, you know, it's funny because, of course, USA Today, which I really am getting close to just going up there with a machete and
lopping
off some heads.
Don't do it.
Figuratively, not literally. But well, one of their stories, like, oh, the stain of Kelvin Sampson's past. I mean, it was phone calls, you idiots. Really? You got schools giving people bags of money, and, you know, he got in trouble for phone calls. Woo.
Hey, man, f*** that.
And, oh, well, they only beat all these low seeds. It's like, well, whose fault is that?
Yep.
Go blame Illinois.
Blame the high seeds, yeah.
Go blame Illinois. Go blame West Virginia.
Go blame Loyola.
Yeah. You know, they lost.
Yeah.
So I don't care how they got there.
No, as far as like a fan shouldn't care about that.
No.
Now, when you're wagering, you should probably, you know, dig a little deeper than my favorite teams in the Final Four.
Right. And that's a different animal and a different approach. And that's why I'll be honest, I already punched a ticket on the other side. I just don't think 5 points is enough. I mean, I have Baylor 7.5 to 8 points better. Doesn't mean they're going to win.
No,
but
and that's the thing with this UH team. Like the it's not the this Baylor game is not an unwinnable game. It's just it's tough to
if
to,
they play
to
it
find
10,
a path.
If they play it 10 times, I think UH wins 2.5, maybe 3.
It's probably about right.
And that's okay. If this happens to be one of those, great.
Because let's face it. Again, last night it wasn't the best showing for UH.
Nope.
UH has had a few of these games, and they're not the only one in the tournament. I mean, UCLA's had a couple games where, I mean, they could have easily gone home.
Kim Mulkey looks like the Crypt
Keeper.
Oh, yeah,
she's...
what the hell?
Does
she have the Rona? Is that why she doesn't want any testing?
I don't know, but about, I would say 12, 15 years ago, she was kind of a hot lady. And
she was attractive.
I mean, for a basketball coach... She was like a basketball coach 8. Time's not been good to her.
Anyway, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. I just saw that and it just scared the hell. No, you're talking about UH and
And UH they didn't if they were playing against if they had played against higher seeds, chances are good they let one of those games go because they didn't have their A game in a handful of these games. The first half was domination yesterday. And the second half, they went to sleep, and it felt like, okay, they were kind of just, they were trying to dictate tempo, and they weren't really, you know, their offense isn't great anyway, but they weren't really trying to move their offense. They were just trying to keep Oregon State from scoring, and Oregon State got back in the game.
Yeah. Two things about that. First off, I give Oregon State credit that when they adjusted to that 1-3-1, and UH was basically just throwing those little pop passes over the guy out there instead of attacking the basket, which they finally did in the last few minutes. And that's one reason why they were able to get back in the game because, you know, UH was just sort of standing out there waiting in the last minute and throwing up a three. And that's a good way to lose a basketball game. The other thing.
I mean, we talked about that in the game that UH won.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you let a team back in.
They against Rutgers. That Rutgers should have beat them. And UH started doing in this game what Rutgers was doing in that other game, and
I mean Kelvin Sampson's a great coach, but why he didn't adjust to that, and I mean because the corner three was open against that defense, and once you were able to slash to the basket, that was open, and they didn't do that until the game got tied, and all of a sudden, okay, here let's do what we need to do,
let's get it together,
and they won the game. But the other key factor, and you know, pat myself on the back for this, I was saying. Anybody listen, Sasser's the key to this thing. If he plays well, they're going to be hard to beat. He was playing very well until he ran into that dude and broke his face. And that's when they got back in the game.
Yeah, game did kind of change.
Because right not only did he go to the bench, when he came back, he couldn't shoot the ball. So that was a key factor as well. But you know what? The thing is that they've done, they grinded it out when they needed to. And I never felt like they were going to lose that game, even when it got tied, just because I expected them to go on a little bit of a run at the end, and that's what they did. Probably should have covered if not for that kind of semi-meaningless three-pointer. But you know what? I'll be happy to take the under 129 by that a was whole close too. Point.
That was close, too. Yeah, but overall, I mean, listen, and this was the annoying part of last night, and I told you I wanted the UH to win yesterday. I was happy that they did. I thought it was cool for the city. But then when people start asking me about other games and asking me about how UH would match up against other teams, and I say what I really think, then all of a sudden I'm a hater. And I don't understand. Like, I feel like I had really good UH energy yesterday and very supportive of the hometown team. And all it was, your tired act of hating on everything Houston, blah, blah, blah. All I care about is winning bets, blah, which is, it's true.
That's true. I mean,
it's not really an act.
No. Hey, I care about winning bets too.
Yeah. I got told, last night I got told, oh, sorry, Texas isn't in the Final Four. You must be beat up about that. I don't care about Texas either. Like, I don't care about anybody except who I bet on. I was glad UH won. I was also glad Oregon State covered 8 last night, to be honest. But
boy, because it looked like that was one where it looked like, okay, no chance they're going to cover, and then no chance that they don't cover, and then whoops, they're down 9 again late.
But it's tough because you want to. Like, I want to say what I really think, but I also, like, I'm not trying to hate on UH. No matter what happens going forward, we always said beating Baylor and Gonzaga, because whoever won in a championship outside of those two teams would probably have to beat both those teams.
Yeah.
And we said from day one, well, that's a tall task for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it still remains that, but it doesn't lessen that UH is here, and it's cool.
I'm gonna defend you a little bit when we come back, and we'll keep this going because I also want to talk about Granado with you. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, 713-780-3776. So what did you step into now that everybody thinks you hate Houston sports so much?
Well, that's an ongoing issue of mine.
It's true, but that's sometimes you get blamed for stuff that you're not really trying to be.
Yeah, I'm never trying to be that.
Well, sometimes you are, but
John yesterday, John Granato, said something. What did he say exactly? I just want to. I don't want to misquote him. He said something about what Baylor will see is a different level. Their defense is on an – Baylor looks good, but they're going to see a whole nother level of defense on Saturday. To which I said, I mean, Arkansas is the 10th rated defense in the country. They're the 10th most efficient defense in the country. Houston, 7th. If that's the case, there's like 370 something levels. So,
well, there may be. I don't know.
Maybe
but,
so.
But in your defense, let's
but
let's break it down because the numbers themselves, yeah, they're impressive. But the difference between 7 against the schedule UH played and 10 with the schedule Arkansas played.
Well, it's all weighted. So because someone tried to show me UH versus Arkansas on total points allowed. And they're like, well, UH is allowing less total points, so they're obviously a better defense. To which I also said, well, there's this thing called tempo.
Right.
And UH is one of the slowest teams in the entire country in tempo. They want these slow games. They want there to be fewer possessions than more. And Arkansas is the exact opposite. They want to play high possession games.
But I'm curious. I still don't get what the beef is.
I don't know what the. I mean, there's no beef between John and I. I mean, it's.
I don't know. I heard him this morning. It sounded like you were a jerk.
Well, I think he thought I was being a jerk because he said they're giving up 13 more points per game in the tourney than the Cougs against like competition. To which I said, well, that's not like competition. Oral Roberts and Colgate are elite mid-major offenses, and UH, who's a slow team already, has played four slow teams, and you know, including two teams in Rutgers and Oregon State, who are well below average offensive teams. So, and like I said, Texas Tech's the best team that UH has played all season long. We still agree on that?
Yeah.
Just the best team that Arkansas has beaten this tournament. So to say they've played like schedules just is categorically false. Do we agree there?
Yeah, well, and again, I think the SEC was better than, certainly at the top with LSU and Alabama. Those were some really good teams that they played all year. So,
and this is going to be the first time, this will be the first top 25 offense that UH has seen all season long. And again, this isn't me trying to poo-poo on what UH has done. They've played what's in front of them. They've won games. They're obviously a very good team. They wouldn't be a two seed if they weren't very good. But they've had the way that the schedule has fallen in the tournament has been beneficial to them. And this Baylor team is unlike anything you can plan for offensively. And I heard Dell this morning say, you know, if Baylor can do what Villanova did UH could do what Villanova did because they held them to like 61 points. Well, Baylor shot 16% from three in that game. And if you watch that game, it wasn't because Villanova had hands in their faces.
Right, right.
They missed wide open shots all game. And you might say, well, maybe they're just not a good three-point shooting team. Well, except they're the best three-point shooting team in the country. So for the best three-point shooting team in the country to shoot 16%, that had nothing to do with what Villanova did to them. That was Baylor didn't play their best game. And
by the way, they adjusted at halftime, started driving, and won the game going away.
Yes.
Now, the one...
They covered.
Yeah. Now, I would say that Baylor's path has been pretty easy, too, until they played Arkansas. But the difference is they've run away from everybody. Doesn't matter how easy they've been. And same thing with Gonzaga. That's the thing. That's why they've been the two best teams all year.
Well,
neither one of those teams has been tested at all. And, you know, yeah, Villanova had the lead, but they didn't even cover the game.
So. But I would even disagree with that because Wisconsin, Villanova, Arkansas are all – they're all higher-ranked KenPom teams than Texas Tech is. I mean, and that's the best team, like, again, that UH has played all season long, not just the tournament, all season. So, I mean, Baylor's played solid teams. I mean, they haven't played some kind of murderer's row or anything, but.
Yeah, see, I always thought Wisconsin was just another phony Big Ten team. So
they might be.
And so I'm not high on them. And Villanova didn't have their best player.
That is true.
And, you know, but again, they haven't been. Like I said, Arkansas to me was going to be a real test for them, and it wasn't. In part because Arkansas did what Arkansas always does, which is get off to a horrible start. And, you know, but back to your defense argument. If Arkansas, if UH plays defense the way Arkansas did last night, they'll get blown out. I mean, Arkansas was giving up a bunch of easy baskets. As good as they've been all season, there were a bunch of them. You're just looking at them going, what the hell? Is nobody guarding this guy?
Yeah.
Especially early when Baylor ran off to a big lead.
So, yeah, the highest win probability or the lowest win probability for Baylor was when it was tied 0-0.
Yeah.
It never felt like, well, here comes Arkansas. And I said that yesterday. This Arkansas team, they've made a habit of this. If they get down by double digits, they're not going to be able to come back. And they got down by 18, and that was in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, and were they were able to come back and at least make a game of it, but they weren't able to come back and cover, certainly, much less have a chance to win it. So there's this Baylor team is they are so versatile and so switchable, and there's just Davion Mitchell, who it's funny because Jared Butler is the best college player on that. He's a first team All American. Davion Mitchell's the guy who's going to the NBA. He's going to be the best pro prospect. And he just took over that game last night. When it started to get iffy, he just started to just drive on, punk him out. And they changed up what they were doing offensively, and they said, okay, somebody's just going to have to stop Davion one-on-one. And Arkansas doesn't have that guy. And now there were a couple – both teams dealt with one call against Mitchell, a charge that – changed the game and let Arkansas back in it, and then a charge against Arkansas against JD Notte that fouled him out, which I don't understand why he was in there with four fouls at the time anyway, and then much less why he was straight driving to the basket. But he fouls out, and that changed things quite a bit because he's one of their key guys, and that was early in the game. And I get it, they didn't want to let things get away from him, but now he's lost for the game. That's a big loss. But it never felt like Baylor was threatened. And like I said last night, this is no indication that Arkansas is not a good defensive basketball team. They are. This is just what Baylor on a good night can do. This is what they can make anyone look like. And that includes...
I also think part of it was Arkansas did not play great defense last night, which they've done most of the season. And even great defensive teams have off nights. And and a lot of it was Baylor had them confused on some things, on some switches and things like that, where it just looked like nobody knew who they were supposed to cover. And, you know, that's how they've looked pretty much every first 10 minutes of the game of the tournament. And against Baylor, you're going to find yourself in a giant hole.
Well, what I will say is that they turned Baylor over 9 times, which is a win. That's good for, you know, if you turn Baylor over 9 times, that's impressive. They also out-rebounded Baylor. 34-29, but they out-rebounded them. Those are things that if you told me Arkansas did that, then they'd be in the game, but Baylor just shot the ball so well again, which they are apt to do. Like I said, they shot 53% from three. Like I said, they're the best three-point shooting team in the country. That's what they're capable of night in, night out. And it's just hard for me to imagine... I think Baylor UH will play tougher defense than Arkansas did in this game, but UH isn't nearly capable of putting up the points that Arkansas could do to keep a game close should it get a little out of hand.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the issue. But you know what? You can speculate on that all you want. I'm not worried about that today. I'm just happy they got there, and we got all week to sit here.
There was another game last night too. Did you see it?
What, the Baylor women?
No, I meant the other. Well, we talked about the UH game, but the Baylor Arkansas game. The Rockets played the Grizzlies. Oh. Did you watch that?
No, I didn't see that.
You didn't watch the whole game?
No, sorry, I watched UH, and then
Real. You're a Houston sports hater, I guess.
I'm just an indifferent Houston sports guy, when it comes to the Rockets.
You guys hear that? Fred's a sports hater, a Houston sports hater.
Now you can
hate on, hater.
You can deflect all you want.
Everybody saw me yesterday with my Phi Slamma Jamma shirt. You guys saw that, right?
Yeah,
you saw it, higher.
Now you're wearing Baylor green today. So
no, I'm not. That's a lie. It's a lie.
Nope, that's the truth. Look on Twitch. It looks like some kind of lavender, but it's really Baylor green. He messed with the screen, so that's what it looked like. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You know, I could have swore you gave us a list of songs so I could tell people what they were.
That wasn't for you. That was me, so I can keep track. I do it till I make sure I'm not playing the same songs in the same spot every week.
Ah, because it's a local music Tuesday, and I kind of thought you were giving them to me so I could tell people what they were as we went.
No, I don't pre-plan them. I kind of go with the flow.
Okay.
And then I release it at the end of the day.
All right. Just checking.
I got put in the wrong stack.
Before we break down the games tonight, can I give the people a hockey play? I'm going to get back back on the ice horse tonight. Columbus at Tampa over 5.5. Ordinarily, these would be under teams, but Tampa starting backup goalie tonight who has struggled, and Elvis hasn't had the best year for Columbus. Tampa can score. I think Tampa could get the over by itself. So 5.5 is too low, and I haven't bet it yet on either site. I'm doing this for the people. I'm going to go do it in about 5 minutes, so you can get in at 5.5 now. Because if I bet it, it's going to go to 6.
Have you seen the latest list of the baseball prospect rankings as we get to near major league season?
Not really.
I've got a fantasy baseball draft tonight, so I was doing some preparation. I came across the top 250 prospects. How many Astros would you guess on that list?
Well, I guess I got that guy from Cuba must count, so I'm going to go with one.
They've got 5 out of the top 250.
Oh, wow. That's much better than I thought.
Where do you think their highest ranked prospect is on the list?
80.
How about 142?
Ooh.
Luis Garcia, whose ETA to the majors is this year. Then there's Brian Abreu at 151. Forrest Whitley.
He's not alive. We're not allowed to mention
157.
His name. Yeah, he doesn't exist. Forrest Whitley is not a real person.
Pedro Leon, who's an outfielder.
Yeah, that's the guy they got from Cuba, who's supposed to be really good.
2022 arrival, okay. Allegedly. And Jeremy Pena, a shortstop, expected to make the bigs in 21. Not great.
Yeah, I guess Pena might be your Correa replacement.
Well, he is the 207th rated prospect in the big league, so I'm sure he'll step right in, no problem.
Well, and that's the one criticism you might have of the Luno era is that they totally cleaned out the farm system in order to get a contender. But guess what? That's what you do. And it won him a World Series. It damn
almost won him
second.
Another one. You're
so
right.
So I have no problem with that.
Excuse me.
J1 says, Fred, out of your friend circle, where did most attend school in terms of the Texas schools? Most of my friends are. Like, I have friends that went to pretty much every school, and I have a lot of Baylor friends, and no, I'm not betting with them because I told them, same thing I said at the top of the show, Baylor should be an 8-point favorite. Unless you're giving me 8 points, I'm not betting against you. So I don't think there's value in UH plus 5. Sorry. And I'm sure that number's moved. I haven't checked it lately, but it's got to go up, right?
I don't know. I've been kind of, honestly, I've been a little confused at the way the market has pushed these back. Like, Gonzaga's getting steamed against for the first time.
There is that narrative out there that, USC might be the team that could give them a, and even you said that, but.
But yeah. We're still talking about, let me make sure I've got the updated numbers.
I got UH plus 5.5.
Okay, so it has gone up from open.
Okay. Well, it's funny because earlier it looked like it was 5, and you had to pay extra juice if you wanted UH. So that's maybe a little surprising to me. But yeah, Gonzaga getting steamed against, Michigan got steamed against this morning. Like, these are things I just didn't expect to happen, and so I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. I don't know if the market's getting ultra contrarian, but
maybe it's just, as Granato would say, a queer line.
Every line is a queer line?
Maybe so.
Final four lines aren't typically queer lines.
Well, I mean, you know what? The world's changing, AJ.
That's true.
It's more accepting.
That's true.
So there's a possibility. But, yeah, I find that interesting because I can't see playing against Gonzaga right now. I mean, until they prove to me that they can't cover.
Well, not just can't cover, but like the number is now 8.5. It touched 8 today.
You mean it Watson to 8 today?
It Watson to 8 today. That's 2. So it 4 times two, so it's like two masseuses. It's
yeah,
eight.
Yeah. But they just touch the tips.
So right. But we're talking about a team that's played one game within single digits all season long. And this is what's kind of, so this is an interesting thing, and this is maybe a little inside baseball, but that's all right. The way the market has handled the rise of the Pac-12 in this tournament, because we all, you know, the narrative was the Pac-12 wasn't very good, right?
Yeah.
So USC coming into this tournament was 16th in KenPom. They're now 6th. So they've risen 10 spots. UCLA, who, I mean, listen, they've won four games. They came in at 45th. They're now at 16. I don't know that I suddenly think because Alabama couldn't hit free throws that UCLA is the 16th best team in the country. I'm having a hard time getting there. You know, Oregon State, who, again, it was a very impressive run, what they did. They came in number 85. They're now number 43. Do you feel like they've, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but that you should adjust for that.
Okay.
I don't think that's unfair.
Okay, well, how about this? How many Washington games did you see in the postseason this year?
I did not see any.
That's correct. Washington, who was awful this season, they were 5-21, 4-13 in the Pac-12. They finished the season at 184 in KenPom. They're now 130. They haven't played a single game. So that's how much respect they're giving what the Pac-12 has done. That seems like overkill to me.
I don't know. I mean, and we talked about this the other day. It's we didn't really know what the Pac-12 was until they got there, because you basically only had conference games and you only had you had fairly small sample size. They got a late start and then all of them started playing really well.
USC,
so, but you have to make adjustments to ratings based on how these teams do. And you know, now you can say some of those are too high, which I would agree with, but otherwise it's not a very good rating system if, you know, these teams turn out to be better than you think and you don't adjust for it.
It just seems like an overreaction. And like I said, I mean, UCLA, they could have easily lost to Michigan State. I mean, they went to overtime with Michigan State. They could have easily lost that game. They should have lost that game. They should have lost the Alabama game. Yet somehow, because they're still alive, we're looking at it like somehow what they are as a team has drastically changed, and I don't believe it has.
Well, I mean, that's fair, but I also think, you know, what are ratings based on? They're based on what you do. They're based on your body of work.
Well, they're based on your metrics and the schedule you play against and things like
and
that.
So the schedule gets harder and harder with each one of those wins. And close or not, you know, Alabama's a good win. And that's a team that would be ranked significantly higher than them. So that's going to affect it. I think they're overreacting a little bit, just not as much as you think. How's that?
That's fair. I think that's what's keeping these USC and UCLA numbers where I feel like you've got value against them.
Yeah, I have no interest in betting either one of those teams tonight.
Pre-tournament, there's zero chance Gonzaga would have been a single-digit favorite over USC.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, they've both won three games. You know, they've done the exact same thing, gone out and won three games.
Who's been more impressive?
That's tough. I mean,
USC's been impressive, but
USC they beat Oregon by 14 points. It was never even a game. And they beat Kansas by like 35 points or something. Yeah. I mean, they housed that team. But, I mean, Gonzaga, but they're both 3-0 against the spread in this tournament. So I'm just saying USC hasn't done enough to make me think that all of a sudden they are the team that's going to play Gonzaga within single digits when only one has done that all year.
I would say USC probably better body of work in this tournament than Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Those teams are better.
Well, listen, if you're a six seed and you make it to the Elite Eight, you've probably played a better schedule than what the one seed has played. I mean, that's just,
right.
That's the way it goes. But they've not done enough to make me go, oh wow, as Gonzaga, they were really overrated. I just don't see it. And the same goes for UCLA. Like Michigan, if anything, I was wrong about Michigan. I was wrong about the demise of Michigan without Isaiah Livers. They've not missed him, to be honest. Would it be nice if he were there? Sure. But they're just rolling full steam ahead. They look as good as they did when he was there. UCLA, who no one would have argued if they didn't even make the tournament.
Right.
Now all of a sudden it's a 6.5-point game.
Yeah.
Why? Because Alabama missed some free throws? I mean, I don't get it. So I think there's real value, and I hate betting on favorites when it's games that everybody's going to be betting on, because that's typically the square thing to do.
Yeah, but I do think there's enough contrarianism going on that, you know, maybe there's value there.
I love that the steam's going against what I want. So I think I am getting value.
All right, so that's sort of a preview of the two games tonight. I think you covered it.
All right.
But yeah, I got to tell you about Dr. Linville. So yeah, I dropped the hat off so I could show off the hair. And if you're losing your hair and you don't want to, you know, hey, some of you guys look great bald, not a problem. But if you're like me and you were a hideous beast, don't you want to be a hideous beast with hair? Well, that's what Dr. Linville can do. And what he does is take individual follicles from the back of your head and he puts it to where you don't have it. So now I've got hair on the top of my head. And it's an amazing process. I mean, everybody still has hair on the back of their head, no matter how bald you get. So that hair always grows. Well, now it's growing on the top, and it's my own hair. It's the NeoGraft procedure. It's not hair plugs. It's not some goofy wig thing. It's your own hair. And if you go to 975hair.com, he's going to give you a free consultation, and just talk to him about it. He'll sell you in a couple of minutes. Believe me, if you don't like what you're hearing from me, you'll love what you hear from him. And while you do it, take a second to look at his hair, because he had it done and it looks great. 975hair.com. Check out Dr. Linville today.
Where is your dad?
No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh. No one not regular. No one not regular. Ooh.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Good conversations we were having. We wanted to go into sort of a detailed breakdown of the games tonight. And I mean, I told you I'm going to be on both favorites tonight, but I went back and forth a lot on the Gonzaga game, and really what it boils down to is I think Gonzaga is better defensively than people want to give them credit for. I think USC has been unsustainably hot from outside. They're shooting 60% from three their last two games. Their opponents are shooting like 21% from three.
Is that sustainable?
No, neither of those things is sustainable. It's not real. I think Gonzaga has some real matchup advantages in the backcourt. Most of USC's backcourt is made up of mid-major transfer guys. And when you talk about those guys versus Nimhard, who transferred in from Florida, Suggs, who is a five-star, going to be a top five pick in the draft, Ayayi, These are guys who are pedigreed guys and have proven successful all season long. So Isaiah White is playing way over his head. Taj Eady is playing way over his head. I just think that there's too many advantages. And I think if USC were to try to run with them and try to keep up, it just plays right into what Gonzaga wants. If you play a 70 possession game with Gonzaga, I mean, you've got at least a shot. If you play a 100 possession game with Gonzaga, but just go home. Like, you're not winning that game ever, ever. So I have a hard time seeing it. The more I looked at it, the size, I mean, they've seen size. The Gonzaga's seen size. And, you know, Isaiah or Evan Mobley, he's going to be a very high draft pick. He's going to be an NBA center. But he's not a post-up guy. So it's not like he's going to go down there back to the basket and just dominate down low. That's not what he does. That's what I've always said is maybe the way that Gonzaga could be vulnerable if you could post him up and just get Timmy into foul trouble. But that's not really what Evan Mobley is. He's a lob guy. He's got a little bit of a mid-range game. I don't think that's the kind of guy that's going to give them problems. And I just think there's matchup advantages all over the floor for Gonzaga. And then the other game, I just can't get to it. Like I think Michigan wins that game by double digits. It's probably, this may be overkill, but it's one of my favorite bets of the tournament. I don't think UCLA is in the same weight class. I think UCLA has been smoking mirrors all tournament long. Now it could easily bite me in the ass because when I say something like that, that's usually the time when I go down in flames. But yeah, I'm just not buying UCLA. I think that they've more than USC because like you, I'll hear an argument that USC is a top 10 team in the country. I don't think they're the sixth best team in the country, which is what analytics are saying they are now. But I think they're a fringe top 10 team. Like I can see it when I look at their. I look at the guys they have on the floor. I watch them play. I can see it. You cannot convince me UCLA is one of the 16 best teams in the country. I saw them play too many times this year to even form a belief that could possibly be true. So I just think that they are vastly overvalued by what they've done in this tournament. You know, they lost games to teams that they lost to Utah. They lost to Connecticut. They lost to teams that weren't tournament teams over the course of the season. And now I'm trying to be convinced that they're, you know, going to play Michigan within 7 points. This is another one of those lines. If this were a game that was played in round one, Michigan versus UCLA, which obviously that never happens because UCLA would never be a 16 seed. But if Michigan played UCLA in round one, and someone posted a 6.5, everybody and they would get beat up. It would get bet up to double digits instantly. There's no way people would have said, oh yeah, 6.5, that's a good number. No way. Much less would it have opened at 7.5 like it did and then get bet down to 6.5. Like the money coming in on UCLA just boggles my mind.
Well, I'm kind of with you. I just hit a little parlay on both of the favorites.
Well, there you go.
You sold me.
All right.
So
that's as good of a breakdown as I can give you.
All right. Well, there you go, everybody. You got it.
I kind of lean the under in the Michigan UCLA game. I think UCLA is going to have a real hard time scoring in that game, I think.
Yeah. I've been as impressed with Michigan as I have been with anybody in this tournament so far. It doesn't mean I think they're going to beat Gonzaga when they match up, but, or that they would beat Baylor. But I mean, they've just looked like a machine. And, you know, I went against them a couple times early. Because, like you, I didn't think they were going to be as good. And turns out...
You're wrong.
Yeah, it turns out they're actually... They may be better right now than what they were at the end of the season. So, and that happens. But, you know, we'll see. All that said, watch UCLA come up and slap us in the face. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you wish to get in. And, Steel Curtain, as any of these UH guys starting NBA caliber talent. We talked about this yesterday. I think Quentin Grimes is going to get drafted and eventually be a pretty good player in the league. I don't know about a starter, but maybe down the road. And, you know, I still think Dejan Giroux in a couple of years, if he goes to the G League, could be a pretty solid backup point guard in the NBA at some point. He's got to learn to shoot, and, you know, that's what the G League's for. But he does everything else you want. He's a great passer. He's not the fastest guy, but he plays quicker than he is, and he's really long. He's a terrific defensive player. So not the NBA cares about that, but Stuckern said with the restructure for Zach Cunningham, the Texans created a combined $29.93 million in salary cap space. Does this impact the Knicks scale at all? No, he had made it up to three, But then he didn't trade Watson when they knew about all this stuff, so he lost his points back. But, I mean, listen, they've done a good job restructuring some really awful contracts. The Zach Cunningham one, and Zach Cunningham's a guy you want to keep, but you didn't want to pay him like that. Now, this frees up some room. The Tunsil restructure frees up some room. And beyond that, you know, the Whitney Mercilus one, that's where you got some points for, because you basically turned that into a one-year guaranteed deal, and then you can be rid of him. So I thought that was a good one, the Brandon Cooks restructure, all those things. This is why when people keep talking about, oh, they're in salary cap hell. No, they're not. You can fix this stuff really easy. And it's one of the things we talked about all offseason. If you know what you're doing, you can restructure. You can cut the right guys. You got Bernhardt McKinney off your roster. All of those things were smart moves, and that gets you out of cap hell. It's that simple, and a good cap person can do that. And obviously the guy's pretty good at that. So now does that mean he's going to be good at everything else? No. But so far, so good.
All right, guys. I'm going to tell you about your Houston Rockets. How about that? The Houston Rockets, if you're looking for something to do with the family after all your Easter festivities, well, Easter Sunday, head on down to Toyota Center. Take a look at Zion Williamson and the Pelicans on Easter Sunday. That's this Sunday, April 4th, 7 p.m. For as low as $99, check this out, this deal, $99, you get four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks for a fun, safe night out in Houston. That includes beer, wine, soda, or water. And they'll also be having an Easter egg hunt for the kids from 6 to 7 p.m. with great prizes in each egg. Going to be a lot of fun. It's the Rockets Family Pack Ticket Special. It's one you don't want to miss. Grab your Rockets tickets today at Rockets.com. Once again, that's the $99, four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks for a great night out on Easter Sunday to see the Rockets take on Zion Williamson and the Pelicans. Tickets now at Rockets.com. Medicated for me.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.